Well, let's look in Acts chapter 12. Acts 12, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1. I want to share a message, a simple title, Prayer Was Made. There are 40 days of fasting and prayer that we're doing right now, and don't want to make it too complicated. All we want to do is make our request known before the Lord. Amen. Prayer was made. Out of Acts chapter 2, prayer does work. I know Nancy had talked to me a week or two ago, and she was asking me about how to deal with her friend that has been coming out. And she told me, she said, knows all the verses. I've been doing all the verses and sharing all this with her. And I said, well, Nancy, all you can do now is pray for the conviction of God to come on her and pray that she'll get saved. And hallelujah, she got saved. Prayer works, amen. And God can do something in people's hearts that we cannot do. And so prayer was made for Peter in this passage, Acts chapter 12, in verse 1. Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands toward to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with a sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded farther to take Peter also. And there were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quartarians of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. When Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise, go quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did, as he said, saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and was not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she heard, when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they were opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he beckoning unto them and with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to have this passage before us. We're thankful, Lord, for the power of God in answering prayer. And Lord, I'm thankful that you enter in when things are impossible. And I'm thankful that we can have faith to believe that you're greater than any obstacle or any difficulty that we must overcome in life. And Lord, we can't be consumed with anxiety about life and about the future, Lord, when we know there's a God who is sitting on the throne of heaven who's in control of all things. And so, God, I pray you speak to us in a special way tonight about the significance and importance of making our prayers known before God. And so bless the preaching of the word of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Every time I read this passage, I often think of the fact that it was more difficult for Peter to try to get into the house where the Christians were than to get out of the prison where the heathen was. Amen. And it's an amazing thing that God delivers him miraculously. He's actually, God's responding to the prayers of the believers for him. And people don't think it's true. They can't imagine that actually took place. And I wonder sometimes how many prayers that we offer up and God does miraculous things and we question in our mind, did that really happen? Does it really work that way? And certainly this chapter, the church is growing, God is moving, souls are being saved. It's an exciting time, but it also is an oppressive time. It's a time of persecution. Herod has slain James, the brother of John, it says in verse 2. And now, because of the fact when he killed James, the brother of John, he saw that it satisfied and pleased the people that he went after Peter. May I say this, the more that the world is happy when the Christian is ridiculed, the more aggressive the world will be against the Christian. And so certainly as we see the days unfolding in which we live, it impresses upon us the necessity to be people of prayer. Prayer must be made. Our text verse just simply says, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, and prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Peter is thrown in the prison, yet he is at total rest with God. Notice in verse 6, it says, when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now, he's not in a nice plush motel. He's not on vacation. He is in jail for preaching the word of God. But yet here he is. He's at perfect peace in a place of discomfort, a place of incarceration, a place where he is chained to the soldiers that are guarding him. And yet they're not just soldiers that are chained to him, but there's another guard and soldiers at the gate. And Peter just sits down and goes to sleep. Now, I like that. Amen. I like the fact that he can rest in the Lord and sit down and sleep. You can ask my wife, I can go to sleep anywhere, anytime, at any moment. And I can say, well, I think I'll get an hour nap. I'll just go to sleep and wake up an hour later. And I like Peter because he just sat down and he was at rest in the Lord and he went to sleep in the prison. Well, when he's there and what he's experiencing, he's not really aware of what's going on back at the house of Rhoda. He's not aware of the fact that they have come together for the purpose of making prayer before the Lord. And so our text just says prayer was made. Notice, first of all, I want us to think of the practice of prayer. And now, if prayer is going to be effective, then there has to be a practice of it. Wednesday night Bible study and prayer time for the adults is a necessary time because of the fact that it is a time in the middle of the week where we gather together to ask prayer requests of each other so that we might make our prayers known unto God on the behalf of others. It's important to go to the prayer advances because of the fact it is a direct decision that you're going to take and spend time away from everything else in life so that you can make your prayers known unto God to be able to meet with him in a special way. If prayer is going to work, prayer has to be practiced. And so we see, first of all, the practice of prayer. We see the practice of prayer as Jesus, example of Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 6. Oftentimes people say, well, how should we pray? Well, we have Jesus as an example in Luke chapter 6 in verse 12, and it says, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and to continue all night in prayer. The example of Christ was he was always withdrawing away from the crowds and going to a place of seclusion to talk with his Father in heaven. And I think myself personally, I want to evaluate myself and say, all right, where are those times where I withdraw away from the busyness of life? Where are those times, where is it that I'll go and sit down and just be alone with the Lord? And literally it says he continued all night in prayer. There are those times when it is necessary for us to spend great seasons of prayer, whether it be in prayer and fasting for 24 hours, or whether it be praying and fasting for several days, or whether it's just taking a night where you're just burdened about things and you spend all night in prayer talking to God. Will you say, why should I do something like that? Because the Son of God, Jesus Christ, did it. If he spent all night in prayer in a secluded place, then that means I ought to have some times or some seasons where I get away from everything totally and completely to where I can just meet with the Lord. So we have the example of Christ as he went into this mountain apart and prayed. We have the instruction of Christ in Luke chapter 18 concerning the necessity of prayer. He spake unto them a parable, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't give up on praying. You have somebody you're praying for, keep praying for them. Pray until the answer comes. And whatever that answer may be, God may impress on your heart and give you peace that the answer is he's not going to do what you're requesting him to do. But pray until God confirms that for you. But also pray through until you see the prayer answered and that God, well, you know that God has listened to you and has responded to you. And so Jesus said men ought always to pray. I just wonder if this deaf lady would ever have gotten saved if Nancy stopped praying for her. I just wonder if many people who get saved and people who come out to our church and get right with God, if they would ever get right with God if we stop praying for them. And so there's got to be this practice of prayer that has a priority in our life that we must talk to God about these things, because these things are beyond our talents, beyond our strength, beyond our ability to accomplish, because we're trying to have spiritual impact on people's lives and a spiritual encounter with God in our personal life. And it's not going to take place unless we're willing to practice prayer. And so we have the example of Christ, the instruction of Christ. We also have the experience of Christ. In John chapter 11, we know John chapter 11 is where Jesus comes to the tomb of Lazarus, and we understand the whole interaction that he has with Mary and Martha and the other Jews and his tenderness that he has towards them because of Lazarus' death. But the amazing thing is, in dealing with this whole situation, John 11 and verse 41 says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And here it is. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. See, Jesus, the experience of Christ was he talked to his Father about the life of Lazarus. In verse 42, it says, and I knew that thou hearest me always. It makes a difference in our prayer life if we have the knowledge that God always is listening to us and he always hears us. And so he says, I know that thou hearest me always. And then he says this, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. The prayer that Jesus offers up to his Father, that Lazarus might be raised out of the grave, was not done because Jesus was doubting or wondering whether his Father heard him or not, but rather it was an exercise of communication of the Son to the Father in the reality that the Father always listened to him, but he wanted the people to witness that God answers prayer. and God moves in the lives of people, and then he calls out Lazarus' name, and Lazarus comes out of the tomb alive. The practice of prayer. We ought to have some examples in our life where we can point to as a testimony that this was something I prayed for that I could not accomplish myself. I gave it to God, and I prayed until God answered, and this is the answer that I got. How many prayers have you had answered recently? How many prayers can you testify to that they were miraculous moves of God because you were willing to practice talking with God about the issues or the problems that you have in your life? So prayer, here is Peter in prison, but prayer was made. So the practice of prayer. You see another thing here in our verse is the perseverance in prayer. It says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, and prayer was made without ceasing. Perseverance in prayer. And praying until you gain the ear of God. Now, I know God knows everything, and I understand that God is aware of everything that is going on. But the amazing thing is the psalmist mentions the fact that we need to persevere in prayer until God hears us and responds to us. In Psalm 55 in verse 16, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Crying out to God and prayer in prayer until you know you've gained the ear of God. Knowing that God is listening to you and God will respond to you because of the fact you will not give up. And Jesus taught about the woman that kept knocking on the door. I'm sorry, the man that kept knocking on the door. And he said that the friend would rise up and give him bread, not because he desired to do it because he was a friend, but because of his importunity. In other words, he would not stop asking. He would not stop asking. And so Jesus said, ask and it shall be given unto you. And literally it means to keep asking and keep asking and keep asking until the answer comes through. Perseverance in prayer. So they're gaining the ear of God. It means to come and stand in the strength of the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18 says, praying always, and I like that, always. It didn't say once in a while. It said praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so we're going to be able to stand in the strength of the Lord. We're going to be able to fight against the wiles of the devil. We're going to be able to overcome the enemy that's fighting against us. It's going to require us to be persevering in prayer. We can't give up. We can't back off. We can't turn away, because as soon as we do, we've lost the battle. I mean, the battle is raging and it is strong, and we need the strength of the Lord because we can't stand in our own strength. And so we need to be persevering in prayer. So gain the ear of God, stand in the strength of the Lord, and to prepare for the presence of God. And I really believe you ought to pray, persevering in prayer with the intention that you're going to enjoy the presence of the Lord. In Mark chapter 13, and I just think of this, what's the sense in praying if I'm not going to experience the presence of God? In Mark chapter 13, in verse 33, says, take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. And Jesus is coming again, and we ought to keep persevering in prayer until Jesus comes and is with us, amen, and takes us in the glory. And so we need to watch and we need to pray with all perseverance in light of the fact, yes, Jesus is coming again and he's going to take us into heaven, but wait a minute, wouldn't it be nice just to have a prayer time where you sense the presence of the Lord right here and now? Sometimes I think we just do our duty in prayer, but never get connected with God. Some of the greatest experiences that I've had in prayer is where literally it seemed as if God's presence was literally right there with me. Now, I know we have the Holy Spirit in us, and I understand the spiritual aspect of God being with us and never leaving or departing from us. But I'm going to tell you, when you feel the presence of God, the anointing and move of the Spirit of God, there is a difference that takes place in your life. There is an experience that is powerful because of the fact you prayed, you persevered in prayer until God showed up. And 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, "But the end of all things are at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." And so we need to persist in prayer because the days are upon us. The return of Christ, I believe, is coming quickly. And so we need to be praying to get some things answered and some things changed because Jesus is coming again. We're running out of time, folks. And because we're running out of time, then we got to get serious about this thing of making our prayers known unto the Lord. So there's a practice of prayer in this verse. There's the perseverance of prayer. Notice there's the people of prayer. "Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church." The people of prayer. Listen, if you can't get people in church to pray, we're in trouble, folks. And the church was praying specifically for Peter as he was in prison. And if you can't get the people of God to pray, we're in major trouble. And so the people of prayer is the church. Notice, need to pray differently than the way the heathen pray. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7, Jesus said, "But when you pray," he's not thinking that you're not going to pray. The assumption is that you are praying. "When ye pray," he says, "use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." So pray differently than the unsaved. Now, we need to pray differently than our Baptist circles sometimes. Because I'm going to tell you, we have our platitudes. We have our phrases. We have, you know, I love it when somebody newly gets saved because their prayers aren't corrupted. Because they haven't heard other people pray. And they don't copy what other people are saying in their prayers. Prayer is just conversation with God. It's just talking with the Lord, just as I'm talking to you, and we sit down and talk one towards another. We ought to pray differently than those who look like or act like they're pious and they have all their platitudes and things that they say. We ought to just talk to God in heaven. Don't pray with vain repetitions, but rather pray sincerely, communicating with the Lord. So pray differently than what the world has to say and how they do it. But pray directly. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "After this matter, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Be very specific. Be direct. Talk to God in heaven. And know that, wait a minute, he is the one who is listening and he is the one who is going to answer your prayers. So pray directly to him. And you don't have to go around Robin Hood's barn. You don't have to try to go through someone else. All you need to do is just talk to the Lord and everything will be all right. So you need to pray differently, directly, and you need to pray decisively. In Mark chapter 11, in verse 24, down to verse 26. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." So you need to pray very decisively because God has promised if you would pray believing without animosity and without bitterness and without jealousy in your heart, but pray with a prayer of grace, willing to forgive those that you have been an offense to, and respond to God, that God said this: if you'll believe praying, I'll give you what it is you're asking. So pray very decisively in reference to what it is you need for God to do. Don't pray these generic prayers. You know, Lord, just provide for all of my needs. What's the need? What is the need? God, I need a new car. God, I need my bills paid. What bill needs to be paid? Well, Lord, I can't pay my electric bill this month. God, can you pay this electric bill? Why is it we want to pray in generalities all the time? We just want to pray these blanket prayers, and God is saying, listen, you need to be direct with me, and you need to be decisive about what it is that you want me to do. And God will hear our prayers, and he'll respond to that. The church needs to be specifically praying. Oh, don't be praying. Oh, I think it's good to pray this, but, you know, constantly we can't be just praying, Lord, give us souls to be saved. What's the name of the person that needs to be saved? Who is it you know that needs to be saved? Who did you witness to? Who did you hand a tract? Lord, will you save Sam? Will you save Mary? Let's be specific in our prayers. You know why we do that? We pray in generic terms, because as long as we're praying in wide, broad, generic terms, if the answer doesn't come, we have a means of escape to justify the prayer not being answered. But when you get specific with God, now I'm going to tell you one thing right now. Now when it comes, you know exactly what prayer it is that God answered. And so we need to be decisive in our prayer. So the people of prayer is the church. Notice the power in prayer. In verse 5, it says that they prayed without ceasing of the church unto God. They understood where the power was going to come from, that it was going to come from God and God alone. Notice the power is beyond our ability. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 5, you know, I was talking with someone this morning, and they were talking about reading, I'd quoted from George Mueller, and they had read a biography of George Mueller, and they were telling, man, I'll tell you, what a man of faith he was. I mean, he literally fed hundreds of orphans with no money, and he said this, I figured out what money and food gave and all that, and the amount of money that came in for him to feed these orphans would be enough to buy this church 10 times over. And I was like, hey, amen, that's what he did. He would sit down at the table and put the plates on the table and with no food on the table and go to God in prayer and thank God for the meal. And all of a sudden, somebody would knock on the door and bring them food that they could eat. That's what praying beyond your ability. And knowing that God can move and do something that you cannot do. And I'm afraid much of our praying is in realm of our own ability rather than stepping out of the box, so to speak, and getting into the realm where it requires faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I don't want every aspect of my life to be able to be explained. My wife and I was talking about this the other day. We went to Bible college. I still don't know how we went to Bible college. I really don't. I don't know how we paid our bills. I don't know how we ate. I don't know how I got all A's and B's for 4 years. Good night. That's an amazing thing. If I got a D, I rejoiced when I was in school before I went to Bible college. And the amazing thing is I transferred some classes in college from my previous college, and I didn't realize it, but the lousy grades that I transferred in brought me down to my GPA to where I couldn't graduate with honors. But when I look at it, I say, how in the world could that even take place? Beyond our ability. That's what the power of prayer is. You enter into the realm where you're beyond what your abilities are. And I'm not talking about being foolish, and I'm not talking about throwing money away, and I'm not talking about doing things just for the sake of trying to tempt God, but I just know this, whatever it is that I need,
I know that my God has the ability to take care of it. And I don't have to be able to explain it. All I have to do is testify to the fact that that's the power of God to provide for me. And I want this church to be able to constantly experience God moving in it and doing things that we cannot explain. I'm as a pastor, I go to different preachers' meetings, and everybody always asks, you know, preachers are strange animals, I'll tell you. And first thing, they always say, how you doing? Okay, well, how's the church doing? And it's like, okay, what do you want? You want to get some bad news here, or you want good news, you know? And sometimes I'm just stirred with the fact that we sit and we talk about our churches, and much of our conversation, probably 99% of our conversation, is in reference to what we as pastors can do and have accomplished in the church. And it started bothering me years ago. If I can be explaining exactly everything that's going on in the church, it's not by God, it's by me. And I want to enter into the realm where the power of God has to come down, because God's going to do something that's beyond what my ability is. That's what a life of faith is. Notice also, not only power in prayer is beyond your ability, it's beyond the physical. In Matthew chapter 3, in verse 9, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Israel's problem was they boasted in their heritage. And John is wanting them to understand, wait a minute, God does not have to operate within the realm of your heritage. If he wants to raise up a people by telling these stones to rise up and be his people, he can do that. He does not need you, and he does not need me. He does not need this physical building to do whatever he desires to do. God enters into the realm beyond the physical, and he works in the realm of that which is spiritual. So the power of prayer is beyond our ability, it's beyond the physical, and it is beyond our sufficiency. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 in verse 8, our sufficiency is of God. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. It's beyond our sufficiency. It's entering into the realm of the grace of God that gives us the ability to do the work that God desires for us to accomplish. But that is not going to take place apart from the power that we experience in prayer. So we see there's practice of prayer, there's perseverance in prayer, there's the people of prayer, there's a power in prayer. In verse 5 is our text verse, there's the purpose of prayer. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. They had a purpose for the prayer. And I just know this, that God is ready to respond to us when we have a purpose driven prayer, and we are going after the Lord because there are specific things that need to be accomplished. In Matthew chapter 6, we'll go back to Matthew 6, where we have the Lord's Prayer there. I think there's outlined for us a significant purpose in prayer. Notice, first of all, purpose of prayer is God's will. They're praying for Peter. They're praying for him. They're desiring that the will of God would be accomplished in his life. He is in prison. James has already been slain. Jesus was already crucified and was dead and buried and rose again and ascended up on high. The church is being persecuted as they're praying specifically for Peter. Their desire is, what is the purpose of God's will in his life? Notice in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, Jesus said, and when you pray, he says, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. And so praying for God's will to be accomplished in your life, the greatest thing that you can pray for
is, God, what is your will for me? And I'm serious about this. I don't care what job you have. I don't care what position you hold. I don't care what you accomplish in your life. If you're not in the center of God's will, you have missed the purpose of prayer. Because God has a perfect will for each of us, and Jesus gave the model prayer, and he said that when you're praying, you need to pray that thy will be done on earth and also in heaven. And so the will praying with the purpose of what is the will of God. Notice the for God's provision in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. And you know, the interesting thing is that God provided for the children of Israel every day. When the manna came down, they were not allowed to store it for the next day. Why? Because God provided their daily bread. If God fed you today, thank the Lord. Don't worry about tomorrow. God's given you the ability to pay your bills and take care of your responsibilities today. All right, that's enough. Because God has promised that you need to pray with a purpose on your heart. God, today I need you to do X, Y, and Z so that I might continue to be able to glorify your name. And so praying with purpose in reference to God's will, in reference to God's provision. And I just know this, I've always have prayed, God, what is your will? I have always prayed, God, will you take care of me today? Whatever it is, whatever the need is, I have specifically said, God, I need you to do this today. This morning, I was here early this morning and finishing up a few things on my message. And because I did my Sunday school lesson yesterday, and then yesterday I was getting ready to leave, I went to put it on my thumb drive so I could put it on here, and I deleted the whole thing. I was like, no, stupid computers. And I hit the wrong button, and it was gone. And I had some things to do this morning, but I got here this morning. I'm going to tell you something. I was praying this morning. There were some things this morning I needed specifically from God. And I prayed. I said, oh, God, will you hear me this morning? Will you look down upon me this morning? God, I need X, Y, and Z. There were specific things I asked God to do in my life and helping me today. And every day we need to have that time alone with the Lord where we pray for God's provision. If you're just getting in the morning and you're rushing out and you're going about your daily business and you haven't talked to God about it, you're in trouble. I'm telling you, you're in trouble. Because you're not living in the realm of the possibilities of God. You're living in the realm of your own abilities, which are limited to this world. But when you plug into God's will and God's provision, we go outside of what this world is and what can be accomplished. Notice you need to pray for God's forgiveness. Chapter 6 of Matthew and verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our others. It's amazing that he connects those two together. Oftentimes I heard people say, I just don't feel like God's forgiven me. You know why you feel like that? Because you refuse to forgive somebody else. And you have no peace of the forgiveness of God because you're not willing to release someone else from the offense they have done to you. And he said, when you pray, you need to pray with purpose. And the purpose of your prayer is for God's will and God's provision and God's forgiveness, but also for God's protection. In verse 13, it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God's protection. I need God to hold me strong and close to himself that the world will not entice me to draw me away. I need God to constantly reveal to me his kingdom and his power and his glory. And the only way that I can experience those things is by refusing to be drawn into the realm of temptation. And so, God, protect me. I need you to put a hedge around me. I need you to show me what it is that you want to do in my life today. God, I can't make it if you're not with me today. I remember years ago, I was at a Sore Lord conference, and old Bobby Robinson, he said old Bobby Robinson back then, but he was pretty young. He was, I think, about 85 or 86 back then. And he had a tendency to always drive
to all these different conferences that he was preaching at. And he was at the Sword Conference, and one of the preachers got up and said, "Yeah, I'll tell you what, you need to pray for Brother Robinson. I'll tell you, he's a beautiful man of God, and he loves the Lord. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. He's wearing some angels out that are stationed on the corner of his car, I'm telling you." He said, "I rode with him, and I'll never ride with him again." I just started cracking up, laughing, and who was I talking about? Amen. Lee Robinson. I mean, he got up and he said, "Hey, brother, I pray for God to protect me every day." I said, "Amen." I'll tell you, the purpose of prayer is to get in the center of the will of God and his provision, forgiveness, and protection. I'm thankful for this. If God is for me, you can't stand against me. Let me tell you something. If God has his will being fulfilled, and that is, I'm not going to die today, take all the shots you want, because you can't kill me. Because I'm not getting out of this life until God takes me out of this life. And oftentimes we live in the realm of fear and anxiety because we're not walking and living in the realm of the purpose of prayer that God has given us the privilege to talk to him. Well, here's Peter. He's in prison. The angel of the Lord comes down upon him. It's amazing that he's sleeping so soundly in prison that the angel has to wake him up. It's amazing. And it leads him out. And it's not until he gets on the outer court that he really comprehends everything that is going on. Now he's out of the prison. He was like, "Whoa, God sent an angel down here." You know, sometimes God is answering our prayers and we're not even aware of it. Peter wasn't aware of the prayer meeting that was going on with the church. He wasn't aware of the fact that the angel coming was an answer to the prayer at the church. When Peter was released and he went to the house where they were praying, they did not believe that he was released. They were shocked by it. Oftentimes, God comes along and answers our prayer, and we don't even know it. I just wonder how many prayers God has answered in my life today that I haven't even comprehended. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that he cares for us. And I'm thankful for this great experience of Peter, that there were people who knew how to get a hold of God in prayer. And when they got a hold of God, listen, they shook the prison. And I believe with all my heart today in 2018, if the church would get a heart to pray like they were praying, that we can shake our communities. We can shake this world that we live in. I don't know why we think we ought to be so passive. We ought to be praying the fire of God to come down. I remember years ago, the first prayer advance I went to, Keith Daniels was preaching. I'll never forget that man. I went in that place, and I'm going to tell you something. I sat in the back row. My brother and I went down there to check that thing out. I said, "This sounds like some ecumenical thing. There's got to be something wrong with it. We're going to go down and find out what's wrong." That's the spirit that I went to. I didn't go to the prayer advance saying, "Lord, I need to hear from you." I went to the prayer advance with a spirit, "I'm going to find out what's wrong with this thing." You know what? When I got there, I found out what was wrong with me. My brother and I sat on the back row, and Keith Daniels was preaching. And I mean, when he was preaching, that the Spirit of God was so heavy. The Spirit of God was so heavy. You felt like you couldn't even say amen or shift around in your seat. Because if you shifted around in your seat, you may not be paying attention and God would strike you dead. That's how intense it was. I mean, I've never seen a preacher so intense as him. And I remember him testifying of the fact that he and his son were in South Africa on the train, and they started playing rock and roll music on the train. And Keith Daniels got up in the middle of the train and started shouting, "Who has done this? Who has done this?" And the conductor came to him, "Sir, what's the matter? What's the matter? What's going on? I want to know who has done this." He said, "What, sir? What's the problem?" He said, "I want to know who turned this rotten music on to corrupt the pure mind of my son." They turned the music off. And he got a letter of apology from the owner of the train station, the train company. You say, "Well, that can't take place." Well, I'm going to tell you right now, it can take place, but I'm going to tell you, you better know how to get a hold of God to be able to have power like that. You better have spent some time with the Lord where the Spirit of God is resting upon you, and God is the one who can shake the train, he can shake the prisons, and bless God, he can shake America right now. You say, "How can that take place?" Prayer was made. That's it. Prayer was made. And if we'll make our prayers like the prayers that were offered up for Peter, I believe we can make a difference in the world that we live in. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. I really do have a thankful heart tonight, Lord. I know you've answered prayer in my life today that I'm not even aware of. And I praise you for that. I ask you, God, to give me a constant prodding and move of God on my heart that brings me to a constant position of making my prayers made known unto you, Lord. I pray for us as a church, God. We desperately need an anointing and a touch from thee. And we come tonight asking, Lord. We come praying, we come pursuing you and desiring God to do something that's beyond our ability, that you could get all the glory. I pray for each of us tonight, Lord, there's something special, I'm sure, something that specifically is needed in each of our lives. Help us to make our prayers known before you, Lord. And I pray that you move in a miraculous way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's